Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
So if you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 5, read three verses starting in verse 10, chapter 5, verse 10. Chris, I'm gonna switch to this.
Be reading out of the ESV tonight. If you've got it, say amen. And if not, it is on the screens by our fantastic media team. All right, Joshua chapter 5, verse 10 says, "While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes, and parched grain. And the manna ceased." Everybody say manna. Manna. "And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land, and there was no longer manna." Everybody say manna. "For the people of Israel. But they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." And from this text, I'm going to talk for a little bit tonight from the title, "When Manna Ceases." When manna ceases. Let's pray over this word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to me and speak through me as I share your word tonight. Lord, that you would open our hearts and open our ears to receive this word. Lord, that it would go forth and that it would not return void. Lord, that it would produce fruit. Lord, that we would take this word and apply it to our lives, apply it to our hearts, Lord, to make us new, to make us more like you, and that you would create permanent change in each and every one of us tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all may be seated. So what is manna? Now, if this was my Sunday school class or a youth class, I might have brought a prop and had some manna-like food for each of you. But unfortunately, we want to keep this sanctuary looking nice and pretty, and so you'll just have to imagine as I describe it. So hopefully you didn't come to church hungry tonight. But manna is first mentioned in Exodus chapter 16. And the people have made their way into the wilderness. They have left Egypt, and they begin grumbling about the lack of food that they have, of how good they had it in Egypt. And so God tells Moses that he is going to provide manna for the people. And God calls it a bread from heaven, but it was a miracle sustenance for the people. And so the way it worked is that they would wake up in the morning, and this manna would be like a dew on the ground. And the word manna in the Hebrew is translated, "What is it?" And you can imagine that the first day that it happened, they got out of their tents and they said, "What is it? What's on the ground?" And that's where the term manna came from. But the way that it worked is it would show up on the ground and you would gather enough for that day. You'd gather it for your family. As much as you could eat, you would gather that for one day. And there were people that tried to be greedy and get a little bit extra. And whatever you couldn't take, it spoiled. It stank, and it had worms in it. And God was teaching them a lesson about the importance of trusting in him, that it would be their daily bread, right? This is what we read in the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And manna is what started that it was enough for one day. You would go out and gather it, and it would be enough for that day, other than on the Sabbath, because there's no work to be done on the Sabbath, including the gathering of food. And so they would gather twice as much the day before, and it would last through the Sabbath, because God was also teaching the importance of rest. But manna was a miracle daily sustenance from God. The Israelites had no control over its supply. It just showed up, and they gathered it, and they ate it. And it says that the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And so I imagine like vanilla wafers and Teddy Grahams. And if you put those together and took out the artificial flavors and the bleached white flour, you might get something like manna, because this was natural and organic from heaven's market. Amen. It was a miracle daily sustenance. It was just enough. It was not too much and it was not too little, but they woke up every morning and manna was on the ground. And the last verse of Exodus chapter 16 summarizes the manna. And we read this in verse 35. It says, the people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. See, manna was meant to be temporary provision, not a permanent solution. The Israelites were never meant to get used to manna. See, in Exodus chapter 16, they are only 2 months into their time in the wilderness, 2 months in their time of the Exodus. And the problem is that the people got into a manna mindset. A manna mindset. And this is where you get used to just surviving, of just making it through. You've got just enough to make it through the day. There's no growth. There's no abundance. There's no change. It's not better. It's not worse. It's just the same. You wake up every morning and there's manna on the ground. And you get into this manna mindset where you think things will never change or be any different, that it's always going to be this way, that you are just surviving, making it day by day. There's no extra. There's no leftovers to grow on. It is just enough for the day. And manna is a miracle, right? Manna was a miracle sustenance from God who provides. But it is only for a season, because it went from being a temporal provision to being on the menu for 40 years. And this manna mindset manifests itself in Numbers chapter 13. And so we'll, if you skip through the time in the wilderness and in the timeline of their time in the wilderness, this is near the end of the second year that they have spent in the wilderness. And they are on the brink of the promised land. They are at the land of Kadesh, and they are getting ready to go into the promised land that God had promised Abraham and their fathers that he was going to bring them to. But something gets in the way. And I want to say first that I don't fully blame the people for what happens here in Numbers chapter 13. Because I believe that Moses did not set them up for success. If we read starting in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 13, we see that the Lord commands Moses and says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a chief among them. So this is the commandment from the Lord. Go spy out the land. I'm giving it to you. That's it. But if we skip down to verse 17, it says, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. So if you read those two things, those are very different. The commandment to Moses was, spy out the land I'm giving you. That's it. Go spy out the land. I've given it to you. But when Moses instructs the people, there is no mention that God has given them the land. It's about looking at the land and the people and the city and the trees. And the problem is that because God was given it, it had to be good. There was no need to look for what it was, if the land was rich or poor, and what the people were like, and what the cities were like, and what the trees were like. Because if God gives it, it has to be good. It had everything they needed. They shouldn't have been worried. It should have just been, Let's go find a way into the land and see how we're going to get in there, and we're going to conquer and take what God has given us. And instead, the focus was on the wrong thing. It was on the obstacles, not the promise. They were focused on what was wrong with the land and not what was right with it. And so we read the spies' report, and they say, the land is great. It flows with milk and honey. Look at these grapes. We have to carry them on our shoulder. That's how big these grapes are. We have to carry them. The land is great. This is what God is giving us. This is what's waiting on us. But they said the people are strong and the cities are fortified and large. They said there's giants and there's strongholds. And it says that they seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them. They didn't ask the giants how they felt about them. They said, we seem like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. So they decide not to go into the promised land, and they say that their children will become the prey of the people who live there. They said, this is great, God. This is great, Moses, but there's something here I don't trust God to help me get through. The giants are too tall, the strongholds are too strong, and we're just grasshoppers. And so we are to them. And this is the problem with the manna mindset, is that we get used to things staying the same. There's no growth. There's no abundance. There's nothing changing. It's not getting better. It's not getting worse. It's just this manna that shows up on the ground every day. And God said to rely on manna for a season, but not forever. Because manna is for the wilderness, and we are not meant to live in the wilderness forever. They are right on the edge of the promised land, and they tell God no. And so God tells them to go back into the wilderness. Well, first he actually tries to destroy the people, and Moses prays for them and intercedes, and so he doesn't do that, but he sends them back into the wilderness to wander around. He says, for every day that you spent spying out the land, you're going to spend wandering around the wilderness now. And so they change their mind and say, wait, God, we don't want to do that. Okay, we're ready to go into the land. And God said, it's too late. And so they try to do it without God. And that doesn't work. Because nothing ever works without God. Even the right thing. This was the will of God for them to go into the promised land. But they tried to do it outside of God's will and outside of his timing. And if you try to do something outside of God's timing, it doesn't work. You can't force it. You see this with ministry and job situations. You see this with relationships. Me and Jordan joke saying that if we had met in high school, it wouldn't have worked out. Mainly because she probably wouldn't have liked me back then. It's a good thing y'all didn't know me in high school. The Lord has done a great work in my life. But, and Jordan is everything that I could have wanted in a spouse. But if we had met at the wrong time, it probably wouldn't have worked. But because we met at the right time, now she gets to be Sister Oakland. Or Sister Acorn. But it's so important to be in God's timing, to be in God's will. You can't force it. You cannot force God's hand. And that is what the Israelites tried to do. And so they go back into the wilderness and wander around for 40 years. Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies and everybody over the age of 20 were supposed to be the ones to conquer and enter into the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb are the only ones to enter in. God raised up a whole new generation, and that entire generation missed out on God's plan and God's promise for them. So who here has experienced that? Who here has gotten stuck in a manna mindset? You've gotten so used to just surviving, and it takes everything you have to get out of bed and to go to work and to provide for your family and to be a good husband or wife, to be a good mom or dad, to be a good brother or sister, to be a good friend, to be a good boss, to be a good coworker. It takes everything for you to wind down and close your eyes and go to bed at night. And there's no growth because you don't have time or the capacity for that. There's no abundance. It doesn't see you getting better. You don't see your situation changing. It's just the same over and over. Every day you wake up and there's manna on the ground. And you might even be moving forward because the Israelites were moving forward in the wilderness, but the manna was still on the ground. And you could have asked them, where's the manna? They said, it's on the ground. But they were moving forward, and God could be moving forward in you, and you don't even realize it because you're too caught up in the day-to-day. And so all of a sudden, you're ready for God's promise, and he presents it to you. Here's the promised land. Here's my plan. I've got everything you need. Because the promised land had everything the Israelites needed. I've got everything you need. You can trust me. Have I not provided for you? Because if you look back to the Israelites, this was less than 2 years after the parting of the Red Sea. This wasn't 5, 10, 15 years down the road where you could maybe excuse them for having forgotten about that miracle, but it was less than 2 years from God doing that. And all the miracles that they've seen, the manna when they needed food and when they got tired of manna, God provided quail and he brought water from a rock and he gave them victory over their enemies. But somehow they got in their mind that God wasn't big enough or great enough to overcome a few giants and a couple strongholds. He drowned the entire Egyptian army that had enslaved them for generations. But they thought some giants and some strongholds were too much for God. And I'm worried that some of us have made that same mistake. That God brought us to the brink of our promised land and we said no. That he was calling us to something greater, something deeper, to step out in faith and take the leap. And we doubted ourselves and we doubted him. And we missed out on God's blessing and plan for our life. Just like those spies in Joshua and Caleb and Aaron and Moses were supposed to be the ones to go into the promised land, you were supposed to be the one to reach your job, to turn your school upside down, to win your friends and win your family, to break that generational curse and change the course of your family's future, to preach that message, to teach that lesson, to write and sing that song, to play that instrument, to be generous and kind when nobody else is, to step into the calling that God has for you. And you missed it. And you've been wandering in the wilderness ever since. And you're supposed to be eating the fruit of the land, but you've been living on manna. It was supposed to be 2 years from the Exodus to the wilderness, but it took 40. And that same timeline could be said about your life. See, the people did make it back to the promised land, but it took 38 years longer than it was supposed to. And in fact, Deuteronomy says that it was a 13-day journey from the Exodus to the promised land that took them 40 years because they had to get the manna mindset out of their heads. I am reaching for somebody tonight, and this can be as big or as small as you need it to be, but there have been promises over your life, and you've told God no. You said, God, this sounds great, but I'm not talented enough. Well, what about this or what about that? What if they don't like me? What if I fail? What if I can't provide? What if everything goes wrong? We get caught up in giants and strongholds when we should be focused on God. It's like Pastor said last night at prayer, referencing Brother Nathaniel's message on Sunday, but that magnifying God, it doesn't make him bigger because we can't make God bigger, but instead we draw close to him and we focus on him and it makes everything else seem smaller. If the Israelites had magnified God while they were spying out the land, it would have been, look what God has given us. It wouldn't have been, look at these giants and look at these strongholds. It said, look what God has given us. Look what he's brought us from. Look what he's brought us to. Let's go. Let's go and take the land that's ours. And instead, they focus on anything else. We do the same exact thing. We focus on all the variables and what could go wrong. But if we would magnify God in our situation, it would change everything. Has God ever failed? Will he ever fail? Has he ever lost a battle? Will he ever lose a battle? God is good? And all the time? All the time. 24/7, 365, 366 in a leap year. I'm reaching for somebody tonight who feels like they're stuck in the wilderness and all you can see is manna around you. God is working on you, and you are closer than you think. You think you're 2 months in. You think you've just started, but really, you're in year two, and you are on the edge of your promised land. That kid that you were promised, it's on the way. That job that you were promised, it's on the way. That ministry opportunity that you've been seeking, it's on the way. That supernatural strength that you have been crying out for, it's on the way. It's right there. You're on the brink. It's right there. But you have to step out. You have to take the leap. Because look what happens when we step out. We'll go to Joshua chapter 5, the text that I open with tonight. And this is directly before the Battle of Jericho. And so God has completely ushered in a new generation. Everyone that was 20 years or older in Numbers chapter 13 is gone, other than Joshua and Caleb. And so we'll pick this back up in verse 11. It says, "And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain." And verse 12, it says, "And the manna ceased." The manna stopped. The day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Because there comes a moment when the manna ceases. When we go from just surviving to thriving. When we go from manna every day to eating of the fruit of the land. Now, this was before the walls of Jericho fell down. This was before all the victories. This was before they inhabited the land. They have just made it into the promised land. But as soon as they ate of the fruit of the land, the manna stopped. The manna ceased. And that is the season that this church is in right now. Pastor cast a vision for us this year of souls, that an influx of souls is headed our way. That there are people that are desperate for change, that are desperate for Jesus to do something in their lives. And it is on us to do the work, to go into our schools and our jobs and our homes and our neighborhoods and declare the good news of the gospel, to do the work of the evangelist. And although it hasn't fully happened yet, we're not waiting. We're eating the fruit of the land. And we're already getting more chairs because we know these are about to be full. And the ones that we're going to get, they're going to be full. And we're going to have an overflow room. We're going to have new Sunday school rooms. We're going to have more pickleball courts. Amen. We're not going to be able to handle the growth that God has for us because the manna is ceasing at RAC right now. This is our moment. This is our time. It is time to eat of the fruit of the land. The promises of this church are coming to fruition. What has been prophesied over this church is coming to pass. It's not a question of if, but of when. But the real question is, will you be a part of it? See, the Israelites made it to the promised land. God fulfilled his promise for them. But it wasn't the Numbers 13 people, it was the Joshua 5 people. So do you want to be a Numbers 13 or a Joshua 5 person? Do you want to say that this all sounds great, Cade, but is God really going to do that? Is God really going to fill this sanctuary? Well, if he's going to fill Sanford Stadium, he can definitely fill this sanctuary. In this town, in this area, is God really going to do that? Did the manna cease? Yes. Did the things change? Yes. Did they go from surviving to thriving? Yes. And so the same thing is happening right now at RAC. The question is, are you going to be a part of it? And so as I come to a close tonight, if the musicians want to make their way up here, That's the question. For each individual here and for RAC as a whole, are you ready for when the manna ceases? Can you get out of the manna mindset that says things are never really going to change or get better? We're just grasshoppers. We're just a church in Winterville. But maybe we'll be a church in Winterville and Athens and Hull and Colbert and Lexington. Who knows what God can do, because the manna is ceasing. It is time to step into the promised land. It is time to step in the promised land that God has for you. And as God is doing it for RAC, he is going to do it for individuals as well. We're going to see blessings and promises in a way that we have never experienced them before in our families, in our finances. Prodigals are coming home. It's going to happen. But are you going to be a part of it? Are you going to be the one to win your family and friends? Are you going to be the one to see revival come to this area through this church? Or are you going to be the one to eat of the fruit of the land? Are you going to stay stuck in your manna mindset? The manna is ceasing. When manna ceases, anything can happen. It's happening right now. And if y'all would stand with me tonight. I know I'm a little fired up for a Wednesday night, but God has lit a fire in me for this message. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. This is our time. We are on the brink of the promised land. We are right there. We can see it across the river. The question is, are we going to go forward? Are we going to step out in faith? Are we going to take the leap? Or are we going to stay in the wilderness? Are we going to settle for manna when we could be eating the fruit of the land? It is time to surrender to God. Say, I'm ready, God. What is it? I'm ready to go into the promised land. What do you have for me? It's your will and your way, not mine. It's your kingdom come, not mine. I'm trusting in you. What do you have for me, God? I'm not going to do it on my own. I'm trusting in you. What is it that you would have me to do? Who would you have me to reach? What would you have me to do? I am ready for the fruit of the land. And God is going to pour out in a way on our church that we have never seen before. I truly believe that. And so I'm inviting you to...
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.